Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome. I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Housewives of True Crime. Housewives of True Crime. Welcome. Oh my gosh, in unison. And we're so early in the morning, and it's kumbaya already.
I know. I would like to apologize to anyone who's watching this via the YouTube for my face.
Because we didn't brush our hair.
Sometimes that's the best you could do. I literally slept in this shirt. It's that early.
Me too.
This is Holly Dolly Christmas.
Oh my gosh. And it's really cute. A dolly cup.
I do.
And I still didn't go to Bucky's, but I promise I'm going.
Whore. Also, you better go to Bucky's, girl, and get me that because they make that design on the Temu, and I ordered it, and it's not good.
Oh.
I need the real thing.
Okay. It's not like the Christmas curtains in Temu. That actually is good.
No, this is going to be returned.
Okay.
That was backup plan because I have little faith in you sometimes.
It's a good backup plan. Okay. My girlfriend came out from LA last night, and she was like, I want to dance. And, you know, I feel like I don't really know anything about dancing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I'm in Vegas.
Right.
You know, I think that's like the only place I would. So I found an 80s club in the Fort Worth.
There's an 80s club. See, I thought it was just 80s night.
No, I think it's called Studio 80. So I'm pretty sure it's an 80s club.
Okay.
Yeah. It has like light up tables and a light up dance floor. And there's two rooms. There is the 80s room.
Uh-huh.
And then if you walk back, it's the 90s hip hop room. And it is
that is my jam.
I know. Oh my God. It's like, it would be so fun to get like everybody to dress up in the 90s, like have just like,
yeah,
I did a
halfway to 90s party, and it was so fun.
Oh, maybe I'm going to do halfway to 90s at that club for my 45th birthday.
That is a great idea. I'm going to mark my calendar.
Please do. It's coming up. The craziest
in 6 months.
Thing.
I know.
Yeah. So, yes. And I had two glasses of wine, not even two glasses of wine, you guys. And I had a headache this morning. So
you should have been drinking cocktails at the 80s club.
I know. Okay. So because I started with wine at dinner, I was like, and I didn't really want to have like hard alcohol. So I should have just got a champagne actually at the 80s club, which would have still given me a headache. But
and
I like champagne.
It gives off more 80s vibes.
Totally.
When I know. Of the 80s, I think of like champagne and Coke. Right.
Because she was doing coke at 10 years old.
No, but I think of like St. Elmo's Fire.
No, it's true.
Like,
it's true.
Like that was like, you know, I feel like everybody was like, Dom Perignon was like really like.
Oh, it's so true.
You know.
And like, I think a lot of people did do coke in the 80s.
Yeah. It was a thing.
It was a thing. Yeah. Not me.
No. Well, I raged last night until 10 o'clock because we're recording this so early, was the fight. Mike Tyson, Jake Paul.
Well, we're not really recording it that early. We're recording it early in the morning. But
early in the morning,
this
yeah.
Is coming out.
I'm just saying, I raged until a reasonable hour because I knew I had to get up so early to record.
Yeah.
I mean, Tab missed it. You missed it. Let me tell you, boxing is so boring.
That's what I heard.
It is really the most boring thing ever. The actual, all the fights leading up to it were super boring. There was some like, I mean, there was a girl fight and then there was some real fight about it because they thought the ref made a bad call or something. And it was the one girl fights dirty, but I couldn't get into it because there was a big cut on her face. It was so boring. No. Anyways, the Mike Tyson fight was great because it was only 2 minute rounds. So it went by like real fast. And actually that was good because when they were fighting, it was boring, but you did get to see his butt. He walked.
Mike Tyson's butt.
Yes. Yes.
He's pretty ripped for his age.
Oh, he looks great for his age. And I think he is laughing all the way to the bank. I think the look on
all the way to the bank
Mike Tyson look on his face was like, I just don't want to embarrass myself. I just want to, you know, like leave standing. Like he was not like tough Tyson when he like walked up. No. But leading up to it, they had like some little, you know, like, how are you feeling about the fight? You know, conversation.
Yeah.
And then as when that little interview is over and he walks away, he's in like chaps. Or I don't know, maybe it's a jock strap. I don't know what it is, but something up his butt, like,
no
like a thong.
No way.
Yeah, it was on camera. It was great.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, there you go.
Listen, Mike Tyson. Doesn't have old man butt.
That's great.
It looks good. Go
he's
Mike.
Not on the Ozempic.
No. No, he's yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Go Mikey and go Jake Paul. All right. Do you have some sort of fight to talk about today?
This crime is going to make you want to fight somebody.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
They all kind of do.
Yeah. Today's episode is a fraud. As we enter the season.
Another fraud-a-fucker.
That's right. That's right. And you know why? Because we are entering the season of peace on earth and goodwill to all. And fraud-a-fucking is rampant. Okay.
It totally is.
This time of year. So I thought it was a good reminder. I just read 36% of Americans fall for online scams during the holidays. That number might be like, you know how they always say the divorce rate is 50%, but that's just like mostly because like a lot of people get divorced like four times. I feel like maybe like it's like the same people like me who fall for online stuff repeatedly.
But now I'm getting all these like ads for shit that I think are like so funny. And so I want to buy them for Christmas presents. And I am the struggle is real, dude, because I'm like, are we getting this stuff or is this a total lie?
Yeah, I know those package things. Yeah, my husband, I'm telling you, he's very smart, except he's very vulnerable to getting a free laptop online. Clicking. I have to like really keep a rein on him because he will forward me the like your package from FedEx. And, like that, baby,
oh my God.
How did they text you about my pack, like this, you got think it
and
through.
Do not click it. And it's like, we need to verify your address. And you're like,
no, it don't work that way.
Yeah.
Okay. So listen, be aware, people. Okay. Oh, one of the scams that I read about is there's these companies that will send a letter from Santa. And there are some companies that are legit, but they pose as a letter from Santa company and you fill out the form. So you give them all your information and they use it against you.
Yeah.
People are really, there are some really terrible people out there.
I know. And I would fall for that.
Yeah, you would. You fall in for more that kind of stuff. We fall for different things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So today's episode goes down in the Phoenix, Arizona, beginning 2000-ish. This is the part where sometimes I tell you about the local real estate to give you a feel for the lifestyle vibe of the residents. But Phoenix is really unique in that you can buy a decent home now for under $200,000. And you can also have your choice of mega mansions for $30 million.
Yeah.
And kind of every price point in between.
I love that area.
Yeah.
It's got good restaurants. It's really, Phoenix is where it's at.
Yeah, totally. Back in 2011, the real estate market in Phoenix was hot. So hot, it was the subject of a reality television show called Property Wars. Post the big bank bubble bursting that left so many people upside down in their mortgages, the foreclosure scene was wild. For ambitious home flippers who were willing to go to bank auctions and bid against each other for properties without even getting a look-see inside. They show, they just go and just gather what they think about the house by just the outside. They climb the fences, peer inside the windows, auction.
Okay.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the show Property Wars followed six of these men that were dominating the Phoenix auction scene. You didn't have to love real estate to enjoy the show, just a love for reality TV because it had all the drama. These men like bust each other's balls. There was an occasion where it went beyond that and it almost went to blows and producers had to step in because it was so heated. Wow. They are all in it for themselves to make the most profit. So they get into fights because they try to drive up the person, the price for somebody else. Mm-hmm. And then there's this big reveal moment that is a great part of the show when, you know, they get to walk in the door and realize what they've bought, you know, like kind of sight unseen. So it's what they walk in and see is not always good. You know,
people that you, it's often not good,
people
right?
that are forced to vacate their house after foreclosure don't usually get a deep clean before they bounce. You know, it's like
I've seen it too, where they like try to take like the cabinets and they like just take, try to like take everything out of the house that they can. So you're like, okay, I have like 5 missing kitchen cabinets.
Yeah.
And no toilet in this bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen some episodes of the show though, where they walk in and they're like, holy shit, look at this wine cellar. It's amazing. Like the people left the house real nice and left some loot behind.
Yeah. That's probably because like they had to get out for some other reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. So you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah. It's like a grab bag. Remember those?
Yeah.
When we were little.
Yeah. A real expensive one. Yeah. Anyways, I also enjoy the moment when they are showing whatever they've bought to their business partner, which is like mostly like their wives or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, what in the hell did you buy? You know? So it's, there's a little drama there. I'm really surprised that when this show was on, I was not really into it. I loved similar shows like Storage Wars, mm-hmm. which is, you know, they auction off storage units.
Yeah.
And Pawn Stars, American Chopper, American Pickers. That was like the golden age of those kind of random business reality shows. The kind you can like binge because they throw in some smart snuff.
Yeah.
And you don't feel dirty after, you know, watching it, like Love After Lockup or Mama June. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, but yes, because I don't watch it, but yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. On the Properties Wars show, of the 6 home flippers followed, the one we are talking about today is Scott Menaged. He was definitely not the most loved flipper with his flashy flash and his arrogant attitude, but probably the most valued by production because he brought it. He brought the shameless ego and the dollars to bid. He had kind of a rivalry with his co-star flipper, Doug Hopkins, who came on the show already established as the biggest buyer in Phoenix. And from what I can tell, he's a real smart, sensible guy who is successful in real estate currently. Well, Scott no like Doug, and Mr. Scott wanted to be the big cheese. The show is only 2 short seasons long, but on it, you see that Scott obviously cares more about outbidding Doug than he does about actually making a smart business decision.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, side note, I'm thinking if Scott really wanted Doug's success, maybe he should have tried learning from him. And, you know,
not
spoiler.
Being jealous of him.
Yeah. He insisted on learning the hard way, mm-hmm. which him and his family are, you know, paying the price for. Spoiler. Okay. So let me tell you a little bit about Scott. When he was making a go of it in the flipping business and he was on the show, he was in his early 30s. He was married with 2 kids. When I trolled through his social media at that time, he appeared to have everything going for him, success, and he had a really adorable family that he was obviously proud of. His son, Brandon, appeared on the show, and that's when viewers see Scott actually being the kind of guy you wouldn't mind being around because, you know, mostly he comes off not very likable.
Right.
The show premiered in 2012, and that's around the time Scott really amped up his lifestyle. He bought this home in Scottsdale, and it's unbelievable. It has a lazy river. Okay, that's already like sold, right? But this lazy river goes around the entire property like a moat.
I love the idea because I love a lazy river.
Yeah,
but I'm like, how do you clean that shit?
Oh my God, right?
That is like, I just know how much pool people are. And to clean a lazy river, it's like, a lot of pools.
Also, I just think about kids like, coming over to the house and it's like that's real tricky. Like that you can't, you know, keep eyes on them around water. Like it's dangerous a little bit.
No, yeah. I mean, it's like you
but
love
for
it,
a bunch but... of adults, like if you turn it into an Airbnb, bring it.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So it also has like a beach, you know, that you like walk in situation. So that's pretty cool. 8 bedrooms, 7,000 square feet.
Wow, huge.
Yeah, huge. He also had a fleet of luxury vehicles and took lavish vacays. He's living large. Like, mm-hmm. you know, flipping foreclosures really pays. Or does it? Well, let me tell you, it's tricky to do the kind of house flipping that Scott was in the business of, which was buying and flipping as many foreclosures as possible, usually requires using a hard money lender. These lenders don't put you through as many hoops as banks, so it makes closing the deal easy peasy. In exchange for a quickly funded loan, these lenders charge around 18% interest, which is okay because you're planning on paying back the loan short term, because 18% long term is obviously balls, right? One of the lenders that Scott worked with was a man named Denny Chittick. Denny, like Scott, also was a father of two. Denny was not your average dad. Denny was an extraordinary dad. He volunteered at his kid's school as an aide for math and science. That's like extra. That's not like opening the car doors, dad. No, that's like
you're investing, you gotta be smart.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. He also coached their teams and was there for his kids as much as he could, despite no longer being married to their mother. Denny is described as being one of the last really genuine guys out there that did business on a handshake. He had a great reputation and profitable returns to back it up. Denny started his career in lending after traveling the world for years, which he was able to do after because he had helped grow a hardware company to Fortune 500 success. He's a real smart guy. The way his lending business worked was that he had a network of investors of around 100 people. The investment group was all word of mouth. So they were all people he knew, or, you know, people he knew. Denny's parents were investors as well. The investment firm was called Denzico. A big draw to Denny's investors was that the way Denny's loans worked were considered a pretty safe bet because part of Denzico's contract was that they retained first right of refusal on the deed. So basically, if one of the borrowers, like, you know, Scott, defaults, he gets to take the house and sell it to recoup the loss.
Okay.
So Denny and Scott did a lot of business together, and Denny is funding loan after loan for Scott. But Scott fell behind in interest payments. Scott had an explanation for this. Scott told Denny that he had let his cousin run the business because his wife had cancer. And his cousin had ran off with the money. Tragic, right? Mm-hmm. Well, Denny, being the guy that he was, you know, sat down with Scott and looked at the $5 million that Scott was indebted to him, and they worked out a financial plan for Scott to continue to work with Denny and Denny funding more loans with Scott so he could pay him back and get Scott back on his feet. I mean, that's a real nice lender.
That is, yeah.
Okay. This conversation was in 2013 when the show was airing its second and what would be its final season. Scott at this time had become kind of a local celebrity. I'm not sure if that was an influence on Denny's decision to go to such great lengths to continue to fund Scott, but I mean, I can kind of imagine it could have been. Not many celebrities in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. By 2014, Property Wars was off the air, and Scott has an additional business in Phoenix, Discount of Furniture. He opened Furniture King warehouse stores. Furniture King.
Yeah, I know that.
It's such a cheesy name, right?
It is, but you know, you see the commercials.
Okay, well, I don't know. I mean, it must be like a different Furniture King in like Texas, because this one is no longer. Or maybe it.
No, yeah. But I mean, like back in the day, I remember these Furniture Kings. It was like a franchise.
I don't know. No, it wasn't a franchise. He just had like, I think he had three stores in Phoenix.
Okay.
And he had like, he had billboards.
Oh, well. Maybe there's more than one Furniture King. Maybe that's a good name for
maybe. Yeah,
there's a place for furniture called The Dump out here.
That is a real interesting.
It's like so funny to me that they call it that. I mean, maybe I just saw the ads for it, or like the, you know, I go to Scottsdale a lot, so.
Maybe it got in your head. Yeah, that's there's like I remember seeing a storage facility in Colorado that was called, it's called like Mousetrap, and it has a mouse on it. And I'm like,
oh no,
I don't want to store my stuff around anywhere that has mice. I know. Like, that is not a good name.
No, and the dump is like, it's a discount furniture, you know? So I'm like, maybe it's a good name. I don't know.
I don't have good associations with the word dump.
Me neither. Have you ever been to an actual dump?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. It's like, actually, the dump is like my husband's favorite place.
Yeah, it's gross.
We've been to like dumps like in every town. He loves to go to a dump. Yeah.
Yeah.
So fast forward to 2015 and 2016. And Scott, the foreclosure flipper superstar / furniture king, hasn't skipped a beat in the living large department. But the problem was he still had not paid back Denny. And now the amount he owes him is over $30 million.
Oh, wow. That is a lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of money.
Denny is stressed.
Dude, I don't even know how you just come up with that amount of money.
Mm-mm. Yeah. He has gotten himself in this kind of hamster wheel situation, being that I'm talking about Denny. He has continued to fund Scott because Scott has masterfully manipulated him, but it just never results in return. And he doesn't know what to do. And so he just keeps giving him more money.
Yeah.
And Denny is at this point where he has not been able to identify Scott's con because he is just consumed by desperately wanting to return the money to his investors, which, remember, are made up of his parents, his parents' friends, his college friends, his whole bubble.
Dude, this is...
worst nightmare.
It's so familiar. So
yeah.
it happens. And this is how it happens. And then Denny feels desperate. And you want to believe that this guy is actually going to return your investment.
Right.
And you also don't want to like piss him off to be like, he's never going to return my investment.
Right.
Now ever.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The struggle.
So Denny doesn't want his investors to learn that they've lost their investments because he trusted Scott with their money and he's been concealing it on the statements that he sends out.
Now he's breaking the law.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. And I know we have spoken about this before, but you know, there is so much shame associated in being conned that so often leads the victim to continue it like beyond logic because they cannot reconcile that they have been played. And by accepting that they've been played for so long, they have to accept that they put blinders on themselves. You know, there is that point. I don't want to sound like I am criticizing victims because I sympathize with it. You know, like I really do. It's this kind of denial that's rooted in so much more than it's not just that you don't know who you're dealing with. You don't know yourself because you know that yourself would never follow for bullshit.
You think.
Well, with every con, there's always a point where there's no amount of potpourri that can mask that smell of bullshit. And that moment for Denny was when Scott filed for bankruptcy.
Ooh.
Yeah. Because this is when Denny learned that the whole first right of deed of trust refusal clause that was supposed to be his kind of insurance plan was definitely not a possibility. This is because there were no properties to foreclose on. It was later determined by a court of law that of the close to 3,000 loans that Scott had taken out from Denny and other hard lenders, only 96 were actually associated with properties. These fraudifuckers are just masters of forgery. And Scott produced false proofs of purchases to get funded by lenders. And specifically with Denny, he would forward a photo of a cashier's check that he withdrew with the assumption that this is going towards, you know, payment, this proof of payment towards property. And then he would just take that cashier's check and deposit it back in his own account. Hmm. And remember, I told you Denny's like a handshake guy. So he's like, yeah, just send me a picture. You know, he's not going through all the steps. So Scott is just, what Scott is doing is just taking out literally thousands of loans and just using them to fund his large life by making occasional interest payments by taking out more loans. Guess how much money we're talking about?
Well,
Denny's not the only lender he's using.
Oh, God. So he's got $30 million with Denny. I don't know.
Approximately $700 million.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. up to that point in 2016, this was the biggest fraud in Arizona history. But Scott does not get the prize as Arizona's biggest fraudafucker anymore, because in 2019, there was a $2.5 billion medical scam that preyed on Native Americans that sought rehab, which is unprecedentedly, I'm going to say that word wrong, but it's despicable, right?
Mm-hmm. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, and your retirement, even during the holidays. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can create your Acorns account and start automatically investing your money in just 5 minutes. Acorns helps you build your financial future in the background so you can focus on all your holiday shopping and parties. So genius. Another great thing about Acorns is you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be $5 a day or even just your spare change. That's right. Acorns can round every purchase you make up to the dollar automatically and invest your spare change for you. So that coffee you grab on the way to the mall, that's investing. And you get bonus investments just for buying the stuff you need from the brands you love. With Acorns, every single gift you buy this year could put more money in your investment account. It's like cash back, but the bonus investments have a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Pay client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns investing, involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink.
Embrace new beginnings. What a better way to start off 2025 than to learn a new language. I got Rosetta Stone over a year ago and have really enjoyed learning a couple different languages. Y'all know that when I went to Japan, I was learning Japanese, and now that my daughter is taking French in school, I am learning French through Rosetta Stone. It's amazing. It's been around for 30 years, so it is really the most trusted online tool to learn a new language. They have 25 different languages to choose from: Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, Dutch. I mean, if you name it, they probably have it. I think that it's amazing, and you should think about doing this for your New Year's resolution too. It's convenient and flexible, and the value is unheard of. You get a lifetime membership for all 25 of those languages. Start your New Year's off with a resolution that you can reach. Today, Housewives of True Crime listeners are going to be able to take advantage of this New Year special from Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today.
Lady listeners, are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you are, you are most definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormonal disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. They are in our food, water, the air we breathe. They are all up in our business, messing with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through: perimenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier through these changes. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. I've been taking Hormone Harmony for months and will keep on keeping on because it just makes life easier. I feel less stress, less bloat. And just even, I feel more like myself. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today.
So Scott's, congratulations on being the state's biggest fraudafucker runner-up. Okay. So
that is, what is he doing with the money? Do we know?
I told you, he's living large. He's going to Vegas. He's taking trips. He's buying a fleet of cars.
$700 million. Like, does he have a private jet? And
yeah,
all that stuff.
Yeah. So after the Scott filed for bankruptcy, he finally agrees to meet with Denny because he's just been giving Denny the runaround this whole time, right? Mm-hmm. And he agrees to meet with Denny and actually follows through with the meeting pretty much because he had an upcoming deposition in bankruptcy court, and he knew that Denny as a creditor would be called into question as well. So he wanted to feed Denny what to say that would be the least damaging for him. I can tell you exactly what was said at that meeting because Denny recorded it. Mm-hmm. Scott instructs Denny that he cannot provide the courts with any receipts. I mean, he's doing this, right? Because Scott knows that forgery is fraud and any receipts equal prison for him. So he needs to make sure that Denny does not provide those to the court because the court might try to like verify them. So in an attempt to keep Denny from telling the whole truth, so help him God, Scott says that the money that he owes him is being held at auction.com. And as soon as this bankruptcy is through, he will get the money wired back to him. But if the courts learn about auction.com, they will confiscate it and no one will get the money. So he's basically saying like, I'm pulling off a con on bankruptcy court right now.
Right. Yeah. And all my money I stashed in a bank that is not in the United States of America so that we can get the money after the bankruptcy goes through.
Yeah.
And live large again.
Yeah. Denny, it's like, he's not with it. He pleads with him, Scott, you absolutely have to go to auction.com and get the funds returned now.
Does he believe this auction.com thing or he's just saying it?
No. He begs Scott, but Scott doesn't budge and he can't because of course it's another lie. And Denny has heard enough. He couldn't bring himself to buy the lie this time. It had been 3 years since they had the initial conversation that Scott owed him $5 million. And by the way, his wife did not have cancer. That, you know, that was all made up shit. There was no cousin that ran off with the money, I'm sure you assumed. But yeah. So it's been 3 years.
These guys, I swear to you, it is just, it's sickening. Yeah.
It is sickening. So Scott is, you know, out there living large and Denny has not slept. Right.
And his stomach is hurting and mm-hmm. he is like, what the fuck am I going to do? Mm-hmm. And how did I do this to my friends and family? Like, it is awful.
It's awful. He has spent all his waking hours, you know, trying to find a way out of this. He journaled about every conversation he had with Scott during that time and all of his concerns and guilt about not being able to rectify it for the sake of his investors. In late July 2016, Denny wrote 5 pages to his investors explaining how immensely sorry he was, telling them he owed them a lot of money and an explanation. He wrote, "I love my family and my boys as much as you do yours. And I have decided I can't put them through this face to face. So I decided to be my own judge and jury. And the punishment is the death penalty."
He killed himself.
On July 28th, 2016, Denny was found by his 10 and 11 year old sons hanging.
Oh, hanging? How can you hang your? Oh my God. I mean, you need to go to the woods and do this. Like, nobody finds you.
Or just don't.
I know, but I'm just
saying. Even the people that lost all their money are like,
you don't want that.
Like, they don't want that.
But listen, I think the shame is so.
So if you're a good person,
incredibly,
yes, the shame is unbelievable.
And you cannot, like, I know that people have that feeling where they're like, I cannot physically put myself in front of these people and tell them that I lost everything for them. And he lost everything for himself and his family. And he feels, and men often, and women too, but I do, and don't come at me, but I do think that men oftentimes feel like they need to be the providers of their family. And when they can't, it is very hard. And so you see a lot of suicides at this age when men they feel like they cannot provide and they feel like this immense pressure. And if they're not doing what society tells them that they should be doing or whatever, it often leads to something tragic like suicide.
Yeah.
That is so sad. And this fucker.
It is so awful.
And
I've got some more awful for you. When this happened, Scott rejoiced.
No.
His employee testified in court that his initial reaction to the news of Denny's death was that dead men can't talk and said Denny gave us a gift.
Oh, Scott is like he has no heart. He is so, like, what do you call those people? Like, he's a sociopath.
They're like sociopath.
He doesn't have any sort of remorse bone in his body.
How it played out was that it wasn't Denny that put him on the Fed's radar, which ultimately took Scott down. Although, thanks to all the notes and paper trails that Denny left behind to be found, did eventually catch up to Scott. But what had put him on the radar was he had taken to checking the obituaries and catching up on who had passed away in the Phoenix area. And then he would somehow manage to get their social security numbers. I don't know how you do that. Scott's doing this. And then taking out a line of credit to his furniture store.
Oh my God.
In their name.
Oh yeah.
With their information.
This is crazy.
Oh, this was just a little side hustle for him. To the tune of around $2 million. And it resulted in Scott's furniture stores being raided.
I hope that Scott is in prison for a long time.
Well, Scott was arrested on criminal charges related to aggravated identity theft a year after Denny took his life. Three of Scott's employees were also criminally charged. Which, side note, if you have a shady boss, find another job.
I know.
Do not get sucked into their fraud. I don't think most people realize fraud equals prison. You know, even if you aren't the mastermind, you can go down for your role in it.
Dude, if you're keeping books, you better not listen to your boss that wants you to keep the books wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if you start falling into their trap because you think you've, you know, owe them some sort of loyalty. They are not loyal to you.
No, they will
throw you under the bus.
Right. Yeah.
Before themselves. So
these raids didn't happen until 2017. Like I said, a year after Denny's death. And in that time, a receiver had been appointed to sort out Denny's investment firm. Right. Because it's a mess, as you can imagine. And so this receiver, who is like dissecting all of this, alerted the feds that Scott Menaget had fraudulent Denny and the investors. And so the hammer would have eventually dropped on Scott because of what he did to Denny if he hadn't committed the identity thefts. But conveniently, that happened first, right?
Yeah.
So Scott took a plea and was sentenced to 17 years in prison and about $35 million in restitution to victims.
But does he have the money to pay?
Nobody's getting their money back. Yeah. He is serving his time at the Texarkana Federal Correction Facility. And according to the website, his scheduled release date is December 28th, 2030.
Why is he out here?
I don't know.
Just because it's a federal prison, you can go like anywhere.
Yeah, I think because it's federal prison. So he's not going to serve his whole sentence. So I thought that was interesting. I mean, it sounds like he's going to have to serve 13 years of the 17.
White-collar crime.
So a couple of things. I thought it was interesting that while awaiting sentencing, Scott's son posted a GoFundMe to save his house. The one with the lazy river.
The lazy river house?
Scott's house. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Airbnb that shit.
He was just a teenager. Like, so I get it. You know, teenagers do dumb stuff, but I don't get why no like grown up stopped him.
Because hopefully nobody funded that shit. Please tell me.
Did you see how much it got? No, I did not see how much it got. I do hope that at some point, like somebody explained to this child that there were people who now have to work for the rest of their lives because they really lost everything. This was their retirement. Yeah. And children lost their father forever. You didn't lose anything because you never really had it. It was all at the expense of, you know, somebody else on borrowed time. One of the three employees that was arrested during the raids was sentenced to 20 months in prison.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what the other two employees that were charged ended up facing. I think the charges might have been dropped against them, maybe for testimony or something. No,
yeah,
not
maybe they
100%
talked.
On that, though.
Right.
Yeah, that would have been smart. So now I came across some very interesting points and pieces of information while researching this. The first one is a real learning lesson to us all. Okay, so long before the Property Wars show, Scott got his start in flipping, working with a successful flipper. They ended up becoming partners. this man came forward after Scott was exposed, and he explained in an interview that back when he was partners with Scott, it was appealing to him because with the partnership with Scott, he brought capital courtesy of his daddy, which, as I've been telling you, capital is real necessary in this business. Mm-hmm. So the men worked together successfully for a few years, each doing very well, making more than $1 million a year. One day, the two men bet $100 that Scott couldn't do some hike. Well, Scott told this guy that he did the hike and he made it. And when the employee who was with Scott, when he supposedly did the hike, confessed that they didn't even make it halfway, this guy was pissed because Scott had lied about it and taken his $100. So you know what this guy did?
What?
He cut ties with him. He said it was a sign that with all the money that they were dealing with, if Scott would steal $100 from him, he was capable of stealing any amount.
It's so true.
And he was right.
Yeah.
Clearly, this man dodged a bullet. And the lesson is go with your gut.
So,
right?
That actually happened. How do I say it without like putting anybody, but that happened where like a poker game that I know these people were playing poker with like business partners, and they saw the guy that was like they switched dealing, you know, like everybody deals like because they're just at their house. And one of the business partners cheated and they saw it and they knew right then. They were like, this is not the business partner that we need to be in business with, because if you're going to cheat us out of a poker game where we're putting $25 in or whatever,
yeah,
you will cheat us big time when it comes to like big money.
Right.
And it's true.
Absolutely. It's so true. So the next thing I came across on a Reddit post, which you can take for whatever you want, you know, anyone can post on Reddit, but this one lends me to think that some justice was served before Scott ended up in prison because he was banned from the Olive Garden. And that means
no
unlimited. That's right. No breadsticks for him.
And no salad. I actually kind of crave that salad.
That's the only thing to go to the Olive Garden for is the salad and breadsticks. It's so good. I can eat right now for breakfast.
The problem is my whole household besides myself and my one kid are celiac. And so no one can eat the breadsticks or the croutons in the salad. And so,
I just like that, you know, they put like pepperoncinis in there.
I know. I think that's my favorite
part. I don't have enough
part.
Pepperoncinis in my life. Like I need to be putting them on more things.
Every time I see a pepperoncini anywhere where we go, I'm like, extra please.
Yes. So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this is the post, which starts out by this Reddit user saying that her sister was married to Scott, and someone responds like, so what was, you know, what was that like?
Yeah.
And she writes, quote, so I was really young, but he was super funny and nice to me. He has a brother and two sisters, and we went to SeaWorld when I was 5. His family was extremely wealthy. My sister was only married to him for a year, so it was short-lived, but he was a total douche to the adults. It is true he would dump millions in casinos in Vegas. His dad would have to bail him out! Exclamation point. Scott took my sister to Israel, the Virgin Islands. They went to Hawaii for their honeymoon. One really funny thing that shows his assholeness, which is a family joke to this day in our family, was we went to the Olive Garden in Scottsdale and it was late and they were about to close. I forget what happened. I was little, but he started yelling at the waiters and screaming, throwing food even, and he was kicked. He got us kicked out and banned for life. LOL. So when we go to the Olive Garden, we joke where they treat you like family. So all in all, he was a great brother-in-law and really funny to me because I was a kid. To everyone else, he was a jerk, and that's why my sister divorced him. He was also never home between flying to Vegas, New York, and Phoenix. So
okay,
I think she's being real positive about him, considering, I mean, that sounds real bad. Throwing food, screaming at the waiters.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
I mean, what could have gone wrong? At the Olive Garden, they've got it pretty dialed.
They do have it pretty dialed. Sometimes when I go to restaurants that are not as dialed as like the Olive Garden or Outback, I'm like, you guys could really learn from the process, because they have processes. Like you take an order in this amount of time, you bring the salad in this amount of time, you bring the like appetizer in this amount of time. It's like very, very organized, right? But you know, I go to this fancy place all the time and my salad never comes before my meal. It comes with my meal. And I'm like,
get oh my God. Freaking you know, together. My pet peeve is when you bring out the appetizer or the salad before my drink.
Oh, hell no.
Like
you better leave it back there before my drink.
Just leave it. Just let me have a couple sips first, please. Yeah. But I feel, I hate that. But I tolerate it. I don't yell and scream and throw food.
You don't?
Get banned for life. Like Scott. Okay. Okay. So notice the post mentions Scott's big daddy. Well, let me tell you about this man. The apple don't fall far from the tree.
Yeah, I imagine so.
In 2019, he was indicted along with his accountant for mortgage fraud. From what I gather, he was involved in some fraud that involved like investments in luxury condos or something.
Okay.
I think it's worth noting that he told the press at Scott's sentencing that he was proud of his son. He said, quote, as a matter of fact, I have a lot of fathers that would envy me and having a son like Scott. Mm. So, I mean, that's all
douche
a mess.
Douche canoe, yeah. Wendy. Yeah. That's what we would call that guy.
Yeah. And lastly, another Scott Menaged family update that you can take for whatever you want is his son is now in his 20s. And there is a man who leases luxury vehicles who is putting him on blast on Instagram for leasing vehicles from him. And then apparently he would sublease the vehicles.
And, for more money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this man is alleging that he never paid him. And so he had to repossess 4 vehicles from people who had sublet them from Scott Menaged's son. He also... he's putting the son on blast.
Come on.
And then
like,
he also links, he links an episode of American Greed about Scott Menaged to the post.
Oh.
So that everyone knows like this kid's roots.
Oh my God.
What I think about that is it's sad, really, and unfortunate for this kid because he's clearly had like generational non-fraudifucker role models. I just want to say, but the car leasing is like small potatoes comparatively to the like, millions of dollars in fraud.
20.
Yes. So I hope it's the end. I like, dude, you can turn it around. You can end the cycle because it's not worth it, kid.
Oh my God.
It's not worth it.
Make your own money. Learn how to like do it the right way. It can be done.
And
hustle.
Having like driving a fancy car doesn't mean shit. Listen, it doesn't really even impress girls that much. Seriously, we don't really care.
Dude, now these days, like you don't even need to own a car. Okay.
You know what is a panty dropper? A dog.
It's true.
Okay. Like a guy that is like real like nice has like a dog that is like and goes to work. That's hot.
Yeah, okay.
I don't care about your stupid green fast car. It's dumb.
All right. Okay.
I guess
that
maybe
we
not everybody's after
Scott
me.
Because I am over this guy.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. Sorry.
Well, if you guys want more of us, which I can imagine you do, because we are just so fun, you can go and if you listen on Apple, we are on the Clink Clink Club. If you listen on Spotify, then you can go to Housewives of True Crime bonus content. Just type that in there. And if you don't listen on either of those, you can go to patreon.com/Housewives of True Crime, or you can just do that anyways. And, join our Patreon. It's every single Thursday. We come to you with a bonus episode. And sometimes they're a crime once a month. And the other Thursdays, we just chat about current crimes, what's going on in the news. We tell you a little bit more about our lives. And it's kind of just a more fun episode, I would say. Like, you guys, like, I think... anybody that's on Patreon will tell you it's just kind of a good mix up from what we do on Mondays. And Gretchen's crimes are always good. They're like celebrity driven. They're
stuff like I wouldn't talk about on the regular one.
Yeah. So they're good. Yeah. And we do have 5 crimes, which is our beauty line, and it is amazing. It's a great gift. It's also a great gift for anybody that likes true crime, because then you're like, hey, it's from my true crime besties over at Housewives True Crime. And it really works, you guys. It's made in Los Angeles, and everything in it is natural and good for you and healthy and no, it's not like no bad stuff, you know, like no phthalates or whatever, sulfates, all that bullshit. And it's cruelty free. So, you know, we're not testing on monkeys or rabbits. Did you hear about those monkeys that got out of some like lab?
No, that's awful.
Oh yeah, just happened. Like last week, a bunch of monkeys got out of a lab and they're like, no, we don't need to be worried. I'm like, what are they giving those monkeys? What kind of like, you know, they test crazy shit on monkeys, just to let you know.
Not our chimp scalp serum,
but if they did, that those monkeys would have long ass hair.
A lot of hair. Right. No, ever since Chimp Crazy, which is an excellent binge watch if you people, it's on Max.
I haven't watched it.
Ever need something to watch. Okay, so good. But I follow this sanctuary in Florida, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. Now, because I love the chimpanzees. Anywho, the reason why this sanctuary has so many and what it was started out of was a need because there was some freaking lab in New Mexico that had 300 chimpanzees in cages were testing on.
Oh my God.
And they went out of business.
Oh.
Awful.
Awful.
Chimpanzees are like people.
I can't even. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening. And follow us on all of the Instagram, Facebook. We have a private Facebook group, Housewives True Crime Group. And I also have a tab, The Housewife, if you want to follow me on Instagram. Gretchy, I think, is mostly an open book. But she don't post that much, unfortunately.
Sorry.
I'd like to see more about your life.
Yeah. Would you? My friends won't let me. That's why.
They're like, yeah, they get all like, you know, I'm not inviting so-and-so, so don't post.
No, because we didn't invite so-and-so, so we can't post. So yeah. We just have to look like the only time we get out of our house is with our kids. And I'm a cool mom. True. I get out without my kids.
Yeah.
So mostly true. So I would like to highlight it, brag about it a little. I'm insecure, but I don't get to. It's okay. It's fine. I love you guys. Thanks.
All right. Have a super fabulous week. I know it's leading up to next week, which is Thanksgiving. So, you know, go buy all your turkey and shit. You got to get going.
Yeah.
And clink to clink.
Clink, clink.